and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, the show where we go behind the scenes and talk to the creators of independent film and series. I'm Jason Godby, and with me back in the Rabbit Hole studio once again is Mr. Blake Farber. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back once again.
It seems so long ago, and yet
so young then.
So Blake and I were talking at the end of the last episode, and we realized that we really couldn't get into like the nitty gritty of the making of some of his commercial work and the music video stuff. So I said, you know, let's do another one. Let's first start talking music video. We talked a little bit about the Beyonce video. Give me some insight. I don't know how much you can talk about that without violating any agreements.
Yeah, okay. We'll
but
go
like
the basics.
Give me a little backstory of like how you came up with the concept and how it was shot.
Okay. Well, like that first episode was about how to get the job. Now we got the job. Oh my God, where do we go from here? There's like 30 people on set watching us. You know, what should we do?
How do we do it?
Through all the networking and being nice to people, suddenly you get a phone call from an old friend of yours you haven't heard from in a while, and really talented director, actually cinematographer. He calls me and he says, you know, I've been working with this artist and it sounded like a no budget video and everything. And then who's the artist? And he's like, before you hung up, oh, Beyonce.
So where was at this time? Give me like a timeline. Like, where is Beyonce in her career? Is she just?
She is 6 months pregnant and announced her pregnancy.
Oh wow!
At
so,
that point.
But was she already? She'd already left the group that she was.
Yeah, this is 2012. So
okay,
she's
so this
a megastar, and
she's already huge.
Yeah, exactly.
And is this her coming to your friend and with a concept, and he says, I know a guy, or?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. He always watched some things I've done. Remember, as we mentioned in the previous episode, social media, and seeing that the dating thing where it's like, oh, this guy's busy. This guy's doing interesting projects all over the place. So let's get him for this one.
Why not him?
Why not? Yeah, exactly. Which
so
is an amazing honor.
What is that like? Give me some insight behind the scenes. First of all, how did you come up with the concept? Was it her concept?
It was hers.
Okay.
In all honesty, of what happened in this video, it was a mess. The video was shot 3 months prior, pieces of it. It wasn't finished, and there was tension between her and the previous director. I'm not mentioning names or anything, and I don't know, wink, wink, I don't know much what happened with
sure.
that. All I know is that fast forward a few months, she approached her producer and says, we need to get a director to kind of finish it.
Was it like, let's get a young kid around here so that we can kind of tell him what to do and he'd know, tell him where to aim the camera? Or it was like, hey, we know this guy is already good and, you know, he can handle a personality kind of thing. I don't know how much you can answer that question, but try.
I think it was a mix of everything.
Okay.
It was like, okay, cool stuff. You worked with him, great. Okay, he can do the job, yes, and you can have wine and cheese with him afterwards, also.
Right. So it's like the type of thing where they're hiring you. They say, okay, he's competent. He's done enough of this stuff where we believe in him.
Yeah.
If we give him responsibility for it, we don't think he's going to screw it up.
Yeah, because she gave responsibility to others and they screwed up or became ego, big headed and lost the job and lost the video and just. Because it's just like the Prince saying, is it goes in the vault. Like he spends like $1 million on a project and it doesn't get released. It goes in the vault in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, and with someone like her too, it's like, I think anybody approaching music video, like there's times where if you're working with an unknown band or they're your friends, you can say, hey, dude, I got this concept that I want to apply. I love your song. We're going to make it like this. What do you think? And they go, yeah, that's cool. And then you write the treatment, you come up with it. But if you're working with Beyonce, you're like, she's the client. This is a product you're making for her,
mm-hmm.
you know, because she knows her audience way better than you do.
Yeah.
And definitely knows her music. And
she's the queen. She really is the queen.
So
that's why they call her.
How was she to work with?
The most amazing, talented person I've ever worked with. And you just learn so much from her because she's been on film sets, music video shoots, photo shoots, every commercials, everything. So she watches people and she learns. She sees a cinematographer lighting her this way and she likes that. She remembers, hey, this light goes this way. In fact, she was moving lights because she knows that this kind of light looks great right here or something like that. So it's
wow.
amazing to see that. 6 months pregnant, dancing for few 14-hour days and stuff like that.
And is this shot here in New York? Or?
Yes.
How long did it take to shoot? How long did you spend on it?
14 hours the first day, which was supposed to be a piece of the video, and she actually loved it so much. She says, let's keep going. Let's keep going with this idea. And we thought we were just shooting a piece of it. It turned to be most of the video.
Very cool. Yeah. So, and then you're working with her, and then are you editing this thing too, or do you?
She has an amazing editor who actually won a VMA for that particular video.
Wow, yeah, very
MTV
cool.
Award. It's amazing.
I don't always have the luxury of working with an editor. You edit a lot of your own stuff too.
Yeah, I'm very hands on.
But you know, it's nice when you have somebody. It's like, oh yeah, he's an award winning editor. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he won an award for that particular video, and I was like, man. Amazing. He did such a great
job. It's a tremendous video. I mean, I think, you know, again, cinematic, and you're capturing her. Like, you're getting her essence. Mm-hmm. And evidently she was happy with it.
Yeah, exactly. Know? She wanted to keep going and everything. It was such a small crew.
Right.
So, yeah.
Let's get into some brand work, too. The Bergdorf commercial. I really liked it. I love the simplicity of it. I think it's charming. You know, and it's got this beautiful, like, romance to it. And I love the color, like, showing, like, closing color in black and white and giving that sort of, like, old-timey feel. And I was asking you earlier how you did that. Talk to me about that commercial, because I think it's like a really, I don't know if that is the simplicity of that. It's probably not easy to execute.
Yeah.
But it looked great.
Right, exactly. Like, for example, the client or the agency had a script, and I was like, this is such a great script. It'll look great in a film noir setting, which I absolutely love, that kind of 1940s shadowy film noir look. But the problem is there's clothing that won't show color. And I said, let's do a Sin City kind of look, or Pleasantville, and just add some colors here and here and here. And I work closely with my great colorist, Roma, wherever he is. And we isolated some things, and then my cinematographer, I usually work with John Enstrom, he made it very film noir-y, and, you know, using strong HMIs or backlight and shadows and smoke, and we did this whole rear projection thing, which looks great in black and white.
You're on a soundstage to do this, right?
In Chelsea, yep.
So you have, you've got your performers, two gorgeous women, that are, you know, and there's like sort of a set on stage, and then behind them you've got the rear projection screen, so that it's not like green screen composite.
No,
you're not doing it later. It's all done right in camera.
Exactly. We were going to do that, and I also worked with an art director, producer, Carolina. She added some pieces in there. We were actually going to set build everything, but the budget. So we thought the rear projection thing, but black and white fits perfectly. If you do that in color, it won't have the same effect to it. It looks flat, but black and white, it's great for shadows and everything.
And then where were you getting the projection footage from? Was that like stock stuff?
Stock footage. We bought some stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
See, that's one of those things. It's like simple concept, and you know, when it comes together, it looks really expensive. Like, it looks like
we're in a cafe in Paris.
Yeah, you get like, but it's got that sort of, yeah, you've got that romantic cafe kind of thing, but it's also got this a bit more edge to it than that, because part of you knows it's not real.
Yeah.
So you do have this, like, it's almost like performers on a stage in front of a backdrop.
Right.
And you're getting a little bit of theatricality to it. Also, the sense of, like, the very sort of French, you know, Nouvelle Vague cinema with the voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
You're just waiting for Jean-Paul Belmondo to come out.
Yeah,
cigarette,
yeah, exactly. Know? Just waiting for all those.
What are you, like, shooting that in a day, 2 days?
It was one day. With models and everything like that. And, you know, it was really less is more. And that's when you don't have a lot of money, just you can't do something huge.
So another commercial that you did that I was really impressed with, and had a lot of, like, I was talking to you earlier, it's like the godfather of sports commercials, but the Betano commercial. Am I saying that right, by the way?
Betano.
Okay.
Correct, yeah.
And what is Betano for those?
It's a sports app based throughout Europe, mostly popular in Eastern Europe. It's from Greece, but partly in Romania, and they want to shoot in Romania because it's great production there and everything, and affordable. So, and I have a great team there.
And probably just pointing the camera at exteriors, and it looks like a postcard. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? It's basically an old Soviet bloc country where if you go to a small town, it's stuck in time. They still don't even know what year it is sometimes.
So you did two commercials for them.
Yeah.
Right.
So in fact, it was June 1 commercial, and then they enjoyed working together that it turned to.
So, and the first one, there's a couple of them. So the one, you did the one where people are like literally like looking at the app underneath their desk.
The modern version.
The modern version. And then you've got the one that's that, like what I was saying, like that Godfather generational feel where you've got the, I don't know what else to call him, but the guy who doffs his hat so well.
Is it, I like that term, doff.
Really, really just a dramatic doffing of the hat.
Some great doffing.
And that looked like it, that looked like quite a bit more effort. Like that looked like a lot of.
That was like, actually less budget.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that one we really tried to squeeze because we were friends with the Batona team and everything like that and the Greeks and everything. And basically they're like, hey, we don't have much money for this, but what can you do? And I just kind of wrote this kind of concept, and they liked it, and they actually trusted me from previously working with them. And we somehow made it work, and we had problems with casting and getting multiple looks. And I remember dealing with some of these casting issues, one guy we found had a beautiful, amazing face, but we casted him the next day when we were doing the wardrobe selections and stuff like that. He shaved his head. And the thing is, back in the 80s in Romania, if you shave your head, you're a prisoner. So no one shaved their head back then. So we were like, he's not of the prisoner character, but now he looks completely like that. So we fired him that day and we casted someone else. So
oh my God,
really funny the way we had to mix and cast and problems. And
so one of the things I'm curious about is a lot of times, like if you're working with, you know, these bigger companies, you're working often with an ad agency. They've got a team of creatives.
They're like the pillow in between the client and
right.
The production company.
So there's the client, there's the ultimate, the brand, and then you've got the agency, the ad agency, and then to me, which you know is like Don Draper and Mad Men, and they're dealing with the production company, and you're either the production company or you're working for a production company.
Yeah, mostly working for.
So in some instances, are you working with the creatives at the ad agency to come up with the concept, or are they giving you a concept?
If they trust you and they like your work, yes. You could. The whole treatment bidding process is that you would write an idea based around theirs, sometimes exactly the same or sometimes completely different, and it's a shoot in the dark because they can love the idea and they say, well, we like this director, but we don't like his idea, so let's get someone else. I've had some like that. I'm like, no, okay, I'll change you. I'll go back to what you said, no problem, just to get the job. And then, creatively enough, I always do director's cuts. And so I shoot it twice. One time what they want and one time they don't want. Or sometimes it's in a different language. One time in whatever local language or dialect and one time in English. So I have two versions. And it takes, another minute to shoot that version? They're fine with that.
You said with the Batano people, you came up with a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And was it the type of thing where you're... Because, you know, first initially we talked about you selling you as a director. But now you're really kind of selling yourself as a writer and a conceptual artist in terms of like... Okay, here's the thing that here's the story that I think that's going to fit this product, and we're going to try and we're trying to use this as the this is the wrapper we're going to put the present in, kind of thing.
Exactly.
So when you're doing that concepting, are you doing lookbooks for them? Are you coming up with boards and treatments and stuff
and all that kind of stuff, visual ideas and samples? And one big thing I had to sell it was my good friend Grant Fonda. I was looking for a composer, and I went to this San Diego Film Festival, and his film was on there, and he was there, and I met him. This is a networking thing. Met him, talked to him, and I said, hey, listen, I have this commercial in Europe, and I had this kind of idea, something old Eastern European thing. He started making it an idea, and then I threw something else, and being a musician too, kind of worked off each other, and he made this amazing composition of this thing. It's very touching and thing peaceful and it's just amazing how it came together. That
I think that's one of the things that sells it
exactly
is the music and also you know the performances too, like you know you're getting these great close-ups in that, and you know it's one of those things where you know you don't want to cry at a Maytag commercial, but you do get it gives you this warm gooey feeling inside you have this like sentimental thing. And you know, kind of what it means. I mean, for that is soccer based, right? Mm-hmm. And
it's the biggest sport in the world.
Yeah, football is the biggest sport in the world. Not American football, European football. But you know, for me, it's baseball. Like, if you want to pull my nostalgia heartstrings,
yeah,
it's you know,
which I love baseball.
Yeah, like it's like, you know, the 77 Yankees or, yeah, you know, people who played when I was a kid. And that was like, you know, like I've heard people say this to me. I've said this to other people. But like when you can't talk to your dad about anything else,
yeah,
you can talk to him about baseball.
Right.
You know, and I've literally had those moments. And that's what that commercial reminded me of, where you have this connection between generations over this sport. That is very father and son. It's like, you know, that kind of, it's that traditional passing down kind of thing. And I think that's the thing about commercials in general, is that they're short, but they can be very powerful. And, you know, if you can lace like a powerful emotion, mm-hmm, like that, like nostalgia or, you know, a moment with a family member or something, and you don't feel like you're being sold anything, because right, you're essentially buying that feeling back,
right,
you know? And that's what I think a lot of these concepts, like the directors come up when they start making spec commercials, they start showing off their abilities rather than telling the story of the product.
Right.
You know?
That's the push and pull of commercials.
You know,
you want to make something creative, but you got to sell the product and got to make them pay their bills. Well.
Right. It's like any branded content. Exactly. You know, my friend Matt did a show, and it was they're sponsored by a car company. And it's like, well, how do we work the car into this, yeah, show?
Right.
And you see it now all the time. Like, commercials now are like product placement. Mm. And I think maybe that's a good way for you if you want to do bigger and better projects. Like, if you want to do features, if you want to do, you know, if you want to do television shows, I see that stuff all the time.
But you could do it so classy.
Yeah, I've seen it done not so well, mm-hmm, where it's like, hey, look at my Galaxy Note,
yeah,
that I just got, you know, and exactly, just, oh my, like, you're hitting your face, you're totally taken out of the picture,
film.
And but like, you know, if you can do it, if you can make it cool and make it sexy,
of course,
and work it.
I think one director did that well, and it was the 1950s style or 40s style of the Flash, I think, in the movie Seven and Fight Club. Oh my God, I forgot the director.
David Fincher,
thank you so much.
Who also comes from commercials.
And music videos.
And music, yeah, he did music videos and commercials. And yeah, he would do those in between features as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he got his start.
Exactly.
And he did that for years before he ever got his first feature.
Yeah.
But yeah, if anybody would know.
Right. Flash.
And then you've got like Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Where it's like you literally crash into a Bud Meat Light loaf truck.
Yeah.
You know, like,
exactly.
Or like, you know.
Or Meatloaf as a Dungeon Dragon Matt. What was it? I Would Do Anything for Love.
Oh,
that was,
yeah,
his famous video. That was big budget.
He also, you know, people knock Michael Bay all the time, but he did that terrific Got Milk commercial.
Oh, I didn't
where
realize.
The kid calls the studio, and he's the answer is like, who shot Alexander Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
And this is way before the musical
that.
Hamilton.
Oh my God.
And but he's got food in his mouth, and he doesn't have any more milk left to drink, and he can't say Aaron Burr. That's Michael Bay.
It's not his style. It's like one room.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look, there's some sexy camera movement in there. You can already see that beginning of that, you know, stylistic
huge
movement
budget
and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, and probably a crazy amount of money they spent on that seemingly one-shot commercial.
Exactly.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you about was, you know, working in working with like different brands, different countries. You recently, like, we were talking about it a little bit at the end of the last show, but you showed me a cut. This was your director's cut that I saw.
Yeah.
Of a Kotex commercial of all brands, which, you know, how do you do, like, what do you do with that? Usually that's a type of brand that gets the worst ads, I think.
Cheesy.
It's always like two women
Summary.
Talking to each other or like
Spring.
Walking through yeah. a field of flowers. And now, how did you come up with a concept for that thing? Or?
No. Okay. It was through the whole ad agency, which is just a huge company in China. And the thing is, the way a lot of Chinese sell things is through a celebrity. And working with celebrities are kind of a creative pain in the ass, because like you have to work on their schedule. I want to shoot early mornings before the sun peaks out. Or after the sun, but you have a 10-hour period with them. So we have to start them at 10 o'clock. And in shooting in Thailand, the sun is like noon then. It's just this ugly, like, shadowy light.
Worst time of day to shoot.
Yeah. So we came up with the idea where we can use stunts to kind of fill in those parts. And the whole video is mostly stunts because the video, it's her jumping off a skyscraper, swimming underwater, diving, skateboarding, fighting, martial arts. And she can't do that. In fact, she said, I hate sports. When it's a tampon commercial, so I don't know if anybody realized.
Who is the celebrity in that?
Her name is Andy. Yangzi is okay. The Chinese name. And she's like this teen soap opera star in China. Like,
I see.
You show like a Chinese guy.
You're taking a Chinese soap opera star and making her into Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible.
Yeah, who is a great stunt. He does his own stunt.
Right, he does his own. He'll hang off the edge of a building.
Yeah. Right.
And you've got this window of time where you're right. It's always like people always want like, I want to do a photo session. Oh, I got 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're like, oh man,
yeah, exactly.
Like worst time of day to shoot.
Right.
And then you're like, who can I get to put up diffusion?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, but when I looked at it, I said, this looks cinematic. It looks like an action movie. And you know, if you ever wanted to sell yourself as an action director, this is what you show people. Like, this is like your action. It looks almost more like Blake's action reel than it does, you know, a sanitary napkin commercial. When I saw it, because it's very clever in your cut where you don't put the name until the very end of the commercial. Because, I was like, is this a commercial for, like, Everlast or Nike?
Or Nike?
or Puma or any of those big brands?
Right, any athletic.
You know, and I'm waiting for that to come. I'm waiting for a swoosh. I'm waiting for something. And then, no, it's...
not at all.
But that's kind of what's great about it is that it's unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also entertained long enough that you don't care. Like, it's not like... it's not a punchline at the end of it. It's effective.
Yeah.
So saying like, yes, this brand can be this too. And, you know, like, so this ad agency comes up with that.
You know what? I think the ad agency, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I think the ad agency came up with the idea because it was getting winter in China and they want, a lot of times this happens all the time. They come with an idea to say, hey, let's shoot near a warm area. Like, let's get away from the wife and the kids. And let's go to Thailand where it's warm and everything like that. We can go on boats and everything. Oh, my God, you guys are the best people in the world.
It's like, J.J. Abrams, where do you want to shoot Lost? Hawaii.
Exactly, right away. Yeah, that's Hawaii. Good. That's it. Fiji's.
Let's go to Hawaii.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I know Michael Caine used to pick movies that way.
Yeah.
He used to be like, well, we're blaming on Rio? Yeah, the script is terrible, but I really want to go to Rio.
Yeah, exactly. that's kind of like...
So how is that, like, are you coming up, like, are they saying, here's a vague concept, and then you're kind of pounding out a treatment and coming up with storyboards and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
And so you're like, it's almost like you're a translator. It's like you're solidifying an idea.
For film.
For film, yeah, exactly. Like we want to see
what's
something
realistic too.
Yeah, like what, and I think that's a lot of times when people come to us with these concepts because I've had these meetings where they go, "We want this," and I'm like, "What is your budget again?"
Yeah,
you know, and they go, "We got this," and you go, "Okay, this is what I can give you."
Exactly,
you know, and you know, for me with Behind the Rabbit, when we make commercials, our mantra is we can work on just about any budget. Just tell us what it is, and we'll make something. But when you're working on these higher budget things, you're still limited. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, I mean, I don't know what the budget was on that particular commercial. I don't even know if you get to know what the budget is on that.
They usually don't tell you, but I had a rough idea.
And am I right in assuming that it's probably more than some people make a low budget feature for?
Could be. It could be. There's things in there, like political things, that I'm not aware of how much they probably spent versus how much I actually made.
I think, too, like one of the things that it shows is like you're getting this great visuals and it's visual storytelling. That's why I think the lesson of commercials and the lesson of music videos, like we were talking about before, is like if you want to make a short or if you want to make like your real piece, write it almost without dialogue. I would say do it like George Miller did Fury Road. Like, just write a movie on storyboards.
Right.
And then if you need dialogue, put it in there. But if you don't, tell this visual story. Because, like, this commercial, or any of your work almost, I would say, if I'm in a bar and we're, you know, and I'm out with friends and I see that come on, it's going to catch my eye and I'm going to be like, what is that? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to know what it is, and it's going to get the message across whether or not I hear the soundtrack.
Right.
You know, or whether or not if I see people, I don't need to see people speaking. I don't need to see subtitles. It's just there. Anyway, we got to wrap up, but Blake, thanks so much for doing this again. It was a great in-depth episode for people. And thank you so much for joining us. For more episodes of No Rest of the Weekend, you can find us on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, and always on our website, btrp.nyc/podcast. For more of Blake Farber, you can find him.
You can search me, Blake Farber, blakefarber.com, Instagram. See my crazy adventures and laugh with me.
His stuff is great, and his commercial reel is entertaining in and of itself. Anyway, for Behind the Rubber Productions, I'm Jason Godby.
And one more thing. I'd like to thank you so much for doing this. I mean, it's great just to get your message out there and to help people and stuff like that. And I love things like this. So, you know, please tell friends about this. Not this show, but his show, all of them. So if you can watch it and support him.
Thank you so much for saying that.
Thank you. He's doing this for nothing, guys.
I think it's one of those things where hopefully the message gets out there, and hopefully somebody who's, you know, an aspirational filmmaker or somebody who's stuck in a in a place that, and they were trying to get to the next level, hopefully it's helping those people.
Yeah, he's doing it for you, just like Cine Summit.
Yeah.
He's doing it for you.
Yeah.
But this is for you guys, help you.
Thank you so much for that. That's very sweet. And thank you again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.